Good morning, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. In his name we gather. It's in his presence that we sense that we have come together in this place here this morning. Title of this morning's message is Feeling at Home in the Presence of Jesus. Do you feel at home with the thought of Jesus being present where you are? As you reflect on this past week, the journey of life that you went through this past month, this past year, did you long to have Jesus with you to help you find your way through and experience a circumstance of life? As I reflect on the thought of Jesus' presence and think of the many accounts that we have in the Gospels of visits that Jesus made to different people's homes, that visits that Jesus made to different individuals' life's experiences and journeys. Sometimes Jesus would come into people's homes unannounced. Sometimes he would go into people's homes because of invitation. Sometimes he would go into those people's homes because of special needs that they had. But Jesus made a lot of house visits while he was here, those few short years of his life. This message, I've shared at a number of other places, was brought to my heart and mind because of an old Southern gospel song that we used to listen to when we were young ones. And that song went like this: Feeling at Home in the Presence of Jesus was the title of the song. It said, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, hearing him call me his own, just feeling at home, putting my feet right under his table, knowing I won't be alone, just feeling at home. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, needed and happy and free, just feeling at home. Feeling accepted and loved and forgiven, a part of his fine family. Feeling at home. And then the chorus, after each one of those four verses, would be sung. You couldn't have told me I'd find what I found, contentment and peace from above, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying way back in his love, warming myself by the fires of his spirit, camping right close to his throne, just feeling at home. As you think of the presence of Jesus, as you think of the presence of Jesus by faith in your world today, does that make you feel at home? To know that he is there. Do you invite him? Do you welcome the thought of his presence when you suddenly think of it in whatever you might be journeying through or experiencing? I would like to just take us this morning on a little journey through the Gospels and read some of the accounts where Jesus made visits and his presence was very keenly felt, and see what it meant to these various individuals, and just allow us to let it work in our own heart, our own experience, our own life, our own circumstances, and be assured again this morning that Jesus wants to be your companion. He wants to be right there with you. He wants you to feel at home in his presence, and he wants to feel at home in your presence. For the first one, turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. We have Jesus making a visit to Peter's house to heal Peter's mother. There was a need in this home, and Jesus comes to this house because of that need. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, I'll begin reading at verse 14. Matthew 8, 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I'll just read those two short verses. We have Peter's wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, was sick here in this home. She had a fever. He touches her. and the fever leaves her, and she arises and ministers unto them. What was it that brought Jesus to this home? Jesus, knowing all things, he came to this home to meet a need. And I also believe Jesus probably frequented Peter's house. It was a house where someone who loved him dwelled, and Jesus would come there and visit probably by times. But in this specific incident, there was one who had a physical need, and he came and he met that need. How do you suppose they felt about Jesus' presence in their home that day? I believe there was a positive response. I believe they felt good about his presence, and they certainly praised him for the miracle that he performed in behalf of Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus wants to continue to make home visits today. He wants to continue to visit our homes. He wants to meet our needs. We have physical needs, we have mental needs, we have spiritual needs, and Jesus is as powerful and equal to those needs today as he was when he was here physically on this earth. Sometimes he brings healing, sometimes he brings miracles, but just his presence, dear ones, this morning, the assurance of the presence of Jesus, knowing that he cares and that his presence is real, may we find sustaining, supporting grace in just that. Turn just to the next chapter here in Matthew chapter 9 for the second look at a visit that Jesus made, the raising of Jairus' daughter. Matthew chapter 9, I'll read 18 through 26. Matthew 18, chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. What a miracle happened here. Jesus comes into their home. We know the hurt and the journey that they were just going through. We have one who is healed by just touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Another that is brought back to life. This great miracle working Jesus wrought a miracle in this home on this day that captured the attention of the people. And we will see as we go on through these different accounts where Jesus made home visits, the compassion that Jesus has, that he had back in these experiences, and the compassion that we want to, by faith, believe that he continues to have for each one of you here this morning. Whatever your experience of life may be, Jesus cares, and he wants to come and visit and strengthen you and encourage you and help you to meet the needs of the day. We move on to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. Jesus visits Levi's house. Mark chapter 2, we'll read verses 13 through 17. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the seat of customs, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here we have Jesus visiting Levi's house, and he beckons him to follow him, and he follows him, and they go to his house, and he ministers to them. We again want to be encouraged here in this passage that Jesus did not restrict who he felt at home with, who he visited with. He came to bring sinners to repentance. He came to meet the needs of people's hearts. Jesus wants to continue to come into our homes. He wants to continue to come into our personal life's experiences and help us to find grace and strength and find healing for whatever it is that we may be confronted with or facing in our life's journey. Mark chapter 7. A Syrophoenician daughter is healed here. Mark chapter 7. I'll begin reading at verse 24 through verse 30. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, and a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet that to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, and the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when he was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. What a miracle he performed here. She was bound with the devil. She was bound these many years. And who did they beseech? Who was it that was able to deliver? It was Jesus. He made this visit in this home and performed this great miracle. Jesus continues to deliver people from the clutches of the evil one today. He wants to come into the home and individual experience of anyone who finds themselves bound by Satan. It takes faith. These different experiences and visits that Jesus made, we've been looking at here this morning, it was a response of faith in the part of these people, in the power of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus. May we have that faith in him this morning. Moving on to the book of Luke, looking at an account in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Beginning at verse 36 through 50. Of a woman anointing Jesus' feet, washing his feet with her tears. Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Isn't that beautiful? This worship that this woman had for Jesus. Now, we don't experience Jesus' presence in our homes in a natural way. We don't see his physical presence. But by faith, I trust that Jesus is present in your home and in your personal life. And I trust that he is receiving worship from you because of your awareness and your invitation into your life. Because of the deliverance from sin that he has wrought in your life, that you bow before him and you worship him. In Luke chapter 10, we have the account of Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. How important is Jesus' presence in your home and in your life's experience? Is he getting first place? Is he getting the recognition that he deserves for who he is, for what he has done for you? May we follow Mary's example and choose that good and important part and worship him. Going to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Here we have him healing the man with dropsy. Luke chapter 14, I'll read verses 1 through 6. Luke 14, verse 1, and it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. So we again have a great miracle performed as he enters into this house and he heals this man of the dropsy. He is criticized for his action or his activity on the Sabbath day. But he reminds them of the importance of the place that he came to fill in this home and each of our homes and each of our lives today. May we worship him as he works and is present in our homes. In chapter 19, Luke chapter 19, we have the account of Zacchaeus. And this is one of those accounts where Jesus comes to a home, I believe probably by surprise, not invited. His presence wasn't maybe anticipated, and yet we know it was desired. Zacchaeus went forth to great effort to see Jesus. Luke chapter 19, I'll begin reading at verse 1 through 10. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. A very beautiful account of Jesus making a home visit. Now, as Zacchaeus heard, apparently, that Jesus was going to be coming passing that way, it says he was a little man, and so he ran ahead and he climbed the sycamore tree. What do you suppose Zacchaeus' highest aspirations were as he went and climbed that sycamore tree? Do you think he thought he could maybe convince Jesus to come be with him at his house? I don't get that idea. But that was the results of it. Jesus comes to that place. As we have the promise in the scriptures that those who seek Jesus will find him. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We have those promises in the scriptures. And so Zacchaeus went seeking. He wanted to just see Jesus. And Jesus saw that seeking soul, looks up to him, come down and says, I'm coming to your house. Or maybe in Zacchaeus' wildest dreams, he thought he could convince Jesus to come to his house. We don't have that recorded. But that is what took place. Zacchaeus comes down. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. And we believe the presence of Jesus apparently melted Zacchaeus' heart, caused him to repent of some of his activities. And he commits to giving to the poor half of his goods. And if he's taken anything by false accusation or by falsely, I believe he was a tax collector, he would restore fourfold. Jesus wrought a miracle in this man's life, but it began with Zacchaeus seeking Jesus. Are you seeking Jesus today? Are you a seeking soul, looking for him? Are you willing to go to efforts to see Jesus? Are you ready to climb the sycamore tree? Are you willing to read the scriptures? Seek him. If you seek him, you will find him. If you seek him, he will come to your house. He will come to your house to meet the needs of your house today. Jesus wants to do that. By faith, we believe he will. Just a couple chapters later here in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 10 through 20. Jesus goes to a house to prepare for the Passover, the Last Supper. Luke chapter 22, verse 10. And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Another house visit that Jesus made, one that we reflect on and think about often, where Jesus came and shared that last Passover, the Last Supper, with his disciples. A very memorable event. And Jesus continues to desire that we partake of that Passover with him. And we do that biannually as we commune together with him. Jesus comes and meets us in a special way, we believe, when we are there in his house with him, partaking of those emblems and reminding ourselves of the shed blood and the broken body of our Lord Jesus. One more passage in the Gospels here, John chapter 11. Again, Jesus comes to Mary and Martha's house, and this is when Lazarus passed away, and they call for him. John chapter 11 and verse 20. We'll begin reading at verse 20. John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, because Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone layeth upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto the Lord, to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Another very beautiful visit that he made to Mary and Martha's house. He knew the burden in their heart, and he had a compassion, and he cared about them. And he comes, performs this resurrection miracle in their family's circumstances here. And so we know there are times when Jesus comes and performs great miracles beyond what we could even dream or imagine that he might. But may I encourage us this morning to invite Jesus and to have him come into our home, into our life's experience, to find the grace, the strength, and the courage that we need is an experience that we should always long for and seek after. And so we have these many accounts in the Gospels of the times that Jesus came and made home visits. And let's just fast forward to our time and think just briefly in conclusion here this morning of how we can make parallels and applications to our time of visits that Jesus wants to make into the homes present here this morning. Is Jesus welcome in your home? Is the thought of Jesus by faith in your home a lovely thought? Would Jesus feel at home in your presence, in your home, in the atmosphere that you have at your house? If Jesus physically were to walk in unannounced, what would Jesus say? We look through these many beautiful accounts and we just marveled at the great changes that came to pass because of Jesus' presence. And I believe by faith, if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you want Jesus by faith to be present in your home? How many of you by faith believe that he is already present there as you live there, as you work together there, as you face life's experiences, as you've sought him for forgiveness, as you long to know him and have him as a daily compassionate friend? For Jesus to abide at your house and in your life, we just notice a number of points that need to take place. We won't take the time to turn to it, but our first point is, if you want Jesus to abide in your life, you must be born again. The account in John chapter 3 of Nicodemus, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus reminded him, you must be born again. If we want Jesus to be present in our life, we must welcome him into our heart, reach out to him for forgiveness of sin, accept him as Lord of our life, and commit our life to him, whatever it might be, and then we have him within our heart. We have him in our present daily lives. Secondly, for Jesus to abide in your house today, you need to desire to have him. You need to seek him. We looked at that in Luke chapter 19 in the account of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus went to seek Jesus, and Jesus found him. Jesus saw him. Jesus was drawn to him. If you want to have Jesus in your home, in your life's experience personally, you need to seek him. You need to seek him with all your heart. I don't know how hard it was for Zacchaeus to get up into that sycamore tree. It may have taken other people to help to hoist him up. I don't know. Sometimes God might want us to help hoist other people up, to help them to find and seek Jesus. It's one of our responsibilities as God's children, as followers of Jesus this morning, to help others in their desire for him. But if Jesus is to abide at your house, you must, first of all, seek him, and you must continue to seek him, and you must continue to desire his presence in your home. Thirdly, for Jesus to abide at your house, as he abode in and visited in many of those homes that we looked at through the Gospels, he must be Lord of your life and of your home. He must be the central one. He must be the supreme one. He must take first place in your life. Jesus will not take second place in anyone's life and continue to abide there. He needs first place. He needs to be Lord of your life. He needs to be the supreme one. He needs to be the one that in prayer and meditation, you're seeking him, you're hearing him, you're crying out to him, you're inviting him into today's experiences, wherever that might be. Ere you even start out in the morning, you invite Jesus into your life, into your experience, into the events of the day, not knowing how they will unfold or what they will be. Jesus, I want you to walk with me. I need your presence. As we face challenging circumstances in life, we start out our days with that assurance. Whatever that experience might be, we can sense his presence, his sustaining power. We want Jesus to abide in our house. We need to worship him, as did Mary in that Luke chapter 10 account that we just read a bit ago, where she bowed down and she worshiped him. She washed his feet with her tears, anointed his feet with that expensive ointment, and worshiped him. Jesus is worthy of our worship. Does he receive worship from you as an individual? Does he receive worship from you as a family? Is he the central one in your home? Point number 5, for Jesus to abide in your house, You need to keep his commandments. Jesus raised a question while he was here. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Are you a child of obedience this morning? I believe, again, I'm talking to an audience of people who are reading the scriptures, have been taught the scriptures, have gone to Sunday school, have been taught the ways of God. This morning, the question isn't so much whether we have a knowledge of God's will. The question is, are we obedient to the will of God and what he asks us in his scriptures? Probably none of you remember the late Ivan Steinhauer, a minister from many years ago, an evangelist that traveled abroad. Of obedience, he used to say, to follow the scriptures is as simple as ABC. The trouble is so many people are DEF. I can hear him saying that phrase over and over again. Following the scriptures is as simple as ABC. The problem is that so many people are DEF to the scriptures. They read them and they don't follow them. But if you want Jesus to abide in your personal life's experience, you want him to visit you personally and sustain you, support you, undergird you, and go with you in daily life's experiences as an individual and as a family, you must live in obedience to his will and his word as it has been delivered to you. In the sixth place, if you want Jesus to abide in your house today and in your life, you need to love your brother and your sister. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. We find that in 1 John. A very simple test of whether Jesus abides in our house, whether we have love for our brother and for our sister. Do you reach out to your brother and sister and support them in their journeys of life? Do you carry a grudge? Do you carry ill will and feelings toward them? May we keep our slate clean in our brotherhood relationship that we just looked at this morning. It's interesting as people live their lives. Sometimes there's things going on in people's minds where they are reflecting on things that happened many years ago. I got a call yesterday from a young man that we had as a Bible school student back at Newville. That's a long time ago. And he said, Jim, there's something I need to clear up. And we had an interview, you asked me a question, and I wasn't honest with you. And all at once, this got weighing on his mind, and he just wanted to clear this up. I said, well, thank you for your call. God bless you for your call. I don't recall asking you that question. I don't remember your answer, but obviously, it was still in your mind, and God bless you for clearing that up. And that's just what we need to do. If we want to feel at home in the presence of Jesus. Now, I don't suppose he carried that with him all the time. I sort of read between the lines in his talk that it's something that just came to his mind more recently. And if that happens in your life experience, don't let anything come between you and your walk with Jesus and his presence in your home and in your personal experience. You need to feel at home in the presence of Jesus. If you're going to feel at home in the presence of Jesus, guilt of sin and wrongdoing and saying something we shouldn't have said has to be cleared up. And the devil wants to make it look like it's a big mountain to climb over, to clear things up, to have the slate clean. But it's not. People want to forgive. People don't want to hold things against you. I wish the young man God's blessing and just blessed it. I said, I just want to bless you for calling. Not because you called me, but because you wanted to clear things up in your life. It's beautiful. And I'm supposing that his walk with Jesus is sweeter today than it was yesterday morning when he had a burden on his heart. So don't carry the burden with you. Walking with Jesus. Is he at home in your heart and in your life? And finally, number 7, for Jesus to abide at your house, you need to desire to be with him eternally. You need to live in anticipation of his soon return. Jesus is coming again, and he is coming to receive those who know him, who are walking with him. He is coming to receive those who, in whose home he is already abiding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The day's coming when we can be forever with him in reality, not just by faith. By faith, we live with him day by day. He's in our home and he's in our hearts. He's in our life's experiences. He walks with us in the journey of life. It takes my thoughts to the words of a hymn, another hymn. It's called The Christian's Passport. If you ever look it up in the Christian hymnal, the saint who enters heaven, who comes of royal birth, or dwells with all the sanctified, is first a saint on earth. We want to abide with Jesus in eternity. He needs to abide in our home. He needs to abide in our hearts. He needs to abide in our personal experience. May God bless each one of you in your journey of life as you invite Jesus into your home, in your daily experience. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus. Hearing him call me his own, just feeling at home. Feeling at home, putting my feet right under his table, knowing I won't be alone, just feeling at home, feeling at home. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, needed and happy and free, just feeling at home. Feeling accepted and loved and forgiven, a part of his fine family, feeling at home. You couldn't have told me I'd find what I found. Contentment and peace from above, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying way back in his love, warming myself by the fires of his spirit, camping right close to his throne, just feeling at home. Do you feel at home in the presence of Jesus? Have you invited him into your life? Are you enjoying his presence? May God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?